Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Main Event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
And we are here with what is the final preview of our Tuesday night fixtures. So, for anyone that hasn't played the game before or is wondering why on earth have you started with Group A, again, just to reiterate, it's because we kind of want to focus primarily on players that play Tuesday. So, we kind of want to get these ones up, ready, done first, and out there so that this should be your major pool of players. Now, before we get on, please don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We are at UCL Fantasy Pod. We are working with Gallagher Shots this season, so please don't forget to follow them. Subscribe to both of our channels, please. And don't forget to like this video as well. Now that that's all done with, this is a very nice group. I like this group, Aaron. Do you like this group?
I do like this
group. But don't care if you like this group, Aaron.
All right, Dwayne.
What do you like so much about this group?
I like the fact that it's pretty straightforward in terms of there's a team to target that we can try and get assets in. And also, just from like a kind of a footballing point of view, I don't know how second, third, fourth is going to go. And I hope Antwerp can cause a few upsets. There's always that underdog that I like to root for. I mean, there was a few years ago, Sheriff, when they beat Real Madrid.
Yes, magic.
It's still unbelievable. And I would love it if Antwerp were able to do something similar.
Did they not beat Shakhtar as well in the first? I'm sure they beat Shakhtar first game and then they beat Real Madrid in the second.
Wasn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure their left wing back was like called Cristiano.
He was, yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. See, so it's like stuff like that that I want.
The reason I like this is because there are, I think, some brilliant picks. And because it's... I'm sorry, Antwerp. There is a bit of a whipping boy in the group, in my opinion. But Donetsk are a historically very strong team. And I generally think you can always get a couple of good players. Mudryk, we had last year from them. But previous seasons, there's always been someone that we can target in there. It's just about trying to find the right players to go for. And there are some great budget players that will allow you to go elsewhere. And because it's a Tuesday game, you can take those risks. Absolutely fine. But also a team like Porto, who are, again, so experienced, some great value options, although a little bit hit and miss because they've only won all their games so far. For anyone that didn't watch the reviews, Aaron regurgitated something that someone at FIFA said during the draw that said Porto hadn't started the season well, despite the fact that they've won every game.
Be careful where you get your information
actually,
from.
Actually, sorry, I tell a lie. They did draw the last game 1-1. They did draw the last game 1-1. So you've been redeemed. Terrible start, just three wins and a draw.
Are they top of the table?
I haven't checked. I don't really care after four games, personally. It's one of them where someone could be eighth. And it's just...
Well, they're not top of the table, so it is a terrible start of the season.
It's a travesty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is like the type of group that, because it's competitive, you can go for some little gems. We will start with the team that people want to talk about. Obviously, it's Barcelona, and they're at home to Antwerp. So, I think we should maybe get Antwerp out of the way.
Are they getting Plasenyed?
They're almost getting Plasenyed. They won 3-1 on aggregate to get here, 1-0, 2-1, so won both games. Very nice. However, in the Belgian league, they played five games this season, and they've got 6 points in the Belgian league.
That's pretty good. Pretty good going for a team that full of artists that like to draw.
It's they're kind of looking to get here. I think they got here because Toby Alderweireld's a centre back. Yes, that Tottenham centre-back that I'm surprised hasn't retired yet scored like a 30-yard screamer into the top bin
to win
in the 99th minute. I don't know what it was. It was insane for them to win their league. Last year, Bruges had a shocker last season. So, yeah, it's not gone well for them. I have not picked out a single player, and I am happy to Plasenyed these. Plasenyed?
Especially for this first match.
Especially against Barcelona. Barcelona. So, speaking of which, Barcelona. Transfers in, first of all, Romeo. Bit of an odd one from Southampton, but he actually fits Xavi's defensive style very well. Gundogan, who we can now add to the injury list as well after the international break. João Cancelo and João Felix. Transfers out, Ousmane Dembele has gone to PSG. Frank Kessie has gone. I don't think he played that much last year. I think so, but it was like pre-Christmas he played, and then he sort of just dipped. And Ansu Fati's off to Brighton on loan. Ronald Araujo is injured, so bear that in mind whenever we talk about these players. However, he'll likely come in at right back mid-September. I think it's probably going to be too soon, the first Antwerp game. However, Porto onwards, he's probably going to be back in for that. Pedri is out until October, so that's big. Pedri, Gundogan, both out. How do you think it's going to affect them?
I don't think it's going to affect them too much, to be fair, because obviously, like, they have just an array of talent that keeps coming through. Like, there's still a glaring omission from the game. Yeah, I think we're all interested to see the price of the 16-year-old superstar. I don't know.
Yes. Well, you don't know.
I don't know his name.
Well, you best fact check yourself then.
But I think I don't think it'll actually affect them too much, just based on the type of players that they have, and just as a unit. Plus, it's against Antwerp. Like,
yeah, I won't actually make you fact check yourself. He's called Yamal. I'm keen to see his price, but I think it's gonna be 7.5 million or something outrageous, and you're just not going to get him.
He'll be a forward.
Yeah, he won't be game breaking. Barcelona, they've played a few different ways this year. They've changed from double pivots with number 10s to sort of box midfields. They've played a back three with wing backs. They've played a normal flat 4-3-3. They've done everything. It's annoying. It screams inconsistency. They drew 0-0 first game of the season. Since then, they've won 2-0. 1-4-3 and 1-2-1. I currently have double Barcelona defense in my team, and I'm now looking at this going, what on earth am I thinking? But Koundé's 5 million, Christensen's 5 million. Ter Stegen's too much. He's too much. Again,
you just 27% owned.
You don't need a 6 million goalkeeper for the...
He's 5.5.
Is he 5.5? I still don't think I'd get him over Koundé or Christensen at 5 million outright.
I think it's more so because every other keeper under the sun is 6 million.
Well, I think there's loads of good keepers. There's actually another one in this group. I'm not saying he's good, but you might want him. But yeah, I think the Wednesday keepers seem to have the better keepers at the minute, personally, I think. However, there is a punty goalkeeper that I currently have from this group in my team for a reason, and we'll get to that. But like I say, I think if you want Barcelona, I think you go for defense. Koundé, it's a bit of an odd one, because when you look at his heat map, you think, oh yeah, he's bombing on, which he has been. But I think with the integration of João Cancelo, who's going to come in at 6 million, if I had enough money, I'd love João Cancelo on my team. He is a beast. He's an absolute force of nature on this game. The amount of ball recoveries he gets, he does get attack and returns. Like, I'm petrified. I think the only good thing is that he doesn't play for Man City anymore. Because if he played for Man City and played, he's 6.5 million on this game. If not, maybe 7. I think he could be the first 7 million player I've seen on this game. He is that good. And he's that suited to this game. But he's not played for them yet. And it's one of those where you could go down to 4.5 million and then upgrade Koundé up potentially. I don't know. You might have to go to 4 million. It's just tough to get everyone in. Koundé has scored the season. What are your thoughts on that Barcelona defense?
I mean, last season they were very, very good. It was like their biggest strength. It's one of the reasons why they won the league. I think that there's a lot of kind of moving pieces. In terms of this season, quite active in the transfer window. I think the biggest thing is just hopefully we get a little bit of rumours in terms of who's going to be the starting players, because I do think that they're going to set you up quite nicely going into the second day. Yeah, I think you definitely need at least one.
Yeah, the other player obviously is Balde, 6 million, but I just think go Cancelo for me personally.
Yeah.
I thought Balde was exceptional last year, and I think he's played well this season so far to a degree, but he's not getting those attacking returns. So I think it's just a no brainer. Cancelo should be your number one choice if you can't afford him. Go Koundé, and if you want to double up, maybe go Christensen just for the price. You get two of them for 10 mil.
Yeah, I think like in terms of Man City defense and Barcelona defense, they are the kind of higher owned defense. Is to like it might not all be in on one player. Like Diaz was the highest owned Man City defender, but the others were still over 10%, and it's quite similar with Barcelona. Cancelo 16%, Areo 14%, Koundé 13%, Balde 8%. So I think a lot of people, it might not be all on one player, but I think people do have Barcelona coverage in their team.
Moving into midfield, I think it's a problem. I think Pedri and Gundogan being two influential playmakers is a problem for Lewandowski, who has been starved anyway. Xavi's system doesn't suit him. He scored two goals this season, but only one from open play. One was a pen, which he won. Classic Lewandowski. Lewandowski loves winning penalties in this game. And it's very frustrating if you don't own him. Obviously, I always do own him, but if you look at this man over here, this is the face of pain. This is the face of a man that goes with Lautaro Martinez over Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of my thing where I'd miss out on the star striker, but recently the roles have been reversed.
Right, less of that. We're not talking about Manchester City or Leipzig anymore, Aaron. We'll stick to just Barcelona and me rubbing it in your face, if that's all right with you.
Yep, that's fine.
So let's talk about all those goals that you missed for Lewandowski when he was banging in hat-tricks, left, right, and centre. It's not that he's not the player anymore. I just don't think Xavi sets up. That being said, it's Antwerp. How integral do you think it is to get him in?
I think integral. I don't think it's integral. But then this is coming from a Lewandowski
dodger.
Yeah. When you're looking at the forwards, though, in terms of like how highly owned they are, Haaland way out in front, 71%. Second, Mbappe, 27%. Vinicius Jr., 22%. I think there are people who don't know the news yet.
it happened long ago enough.
Harry Kane, 22%, but then it's Lewandowski at 14%. So I would say he's still quite highly owned. Like Alvarez is then next with 11%, Osimhen 9%, Lautaro 8%. So, but I would still say for like seasons past, it's quite low for Lewandowski ownership. But then it depends on how many of the others that I've just listed do you have. Pretty much everyone and their dog has Haaland. Do they have Mbappe as well? It'd be good luck to see how the rest of your team looks. Harry Kane, I think 22%. I think that should be more.
It's tough. We'll obviously get to that group. Get to that group, but that it's a tough decision.
But then for Lewandowski, Antwerp, I do think it is just the system that lets him down. If we one season ago,
it's not a question.
Yeah. So
even
So that's the disappointing thing, and it is such a punt for the first day.
Yeah, for that much money, punch shouldn't cost so much. Ferran Torres coming off the bench for a couple of goals, but doesn't start. Gavi has been playing on the right and on the left. Yamal's been playing on the right. I think, for me, if I was to pick three assets to say people should go for, it would be Joao Cancelo at 6, Koundé at 5, Lewandowski at 10.5. And I'd probably avoid the rest. That would be my opinion. What about you? Is there anyone else that you feel people should actually go for?
I know a lot of people kind of on, like a lot of the kind of UCL fantasy experts going for Koundé. I think if you can get that extra million somehow, the jump up to Cancelo is massive for a game like this as well.
Yeah.
If it was, I think again, it's, I don't know if it's, we're not sure what type of system Xavi's going to play. Maybe there's that little bit of pep in him. But I think if, again, if it's one season ago and Cancelo is playing for Man City, you'd be in everyone's team.
Got a question for you. Better answer now. Okay, let's say you already have Harry Kane in your team. So you've already got him in your team. He's up front. Would you rather have Sané and Koundé or Asensio and Cancelo?
If you already have Harry Kane in your team, just know that I am going to do the opposite of what I say. I am not taking Sané out. But that double up is better, isn't it? In
terms of Asensio. Cancelo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I currently have Sané and Christensen. So I and Koundé. So I kind of like the Barcelona double up for that Antwerp game. And then at home to Donetsk, I think away is probably a bit more of an issue.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of having Asensio and Cancelo. I do think I'm locking myself into a match day 3 wild card with that, though. I think Sané has more legs in terms of Asensio's a 1 week punt. I think Sané is very much, once you've got him, you just keep him.
Yeah. Especially for the group stage.
Oh,
Mr. Group stage.
He is Mr. Group stage. And Man United are rubbish. Especially if they've got, sorry, Man United fans. But if they're playing any semblance of Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire at the back,
yeah,
I think Varane's out. I imagine it's going to be Lindelof and Martinez anyway, and they're not bad.
Yeah, I think with like Barcelona as well, you mentioned it before about the double up. So normally we don't talk about that until like the knockout stages in terms of variants and stuff like that. But I think Barcelona against Antwerp is a great example where probably everyone's going to have at least one defender. If you are able to double up and they happen to score really, really big, that could be a good way to separate yourself from the crowd.
Score for the game?
3-0.
I'm just going to go 2, you know. I think they'll keep a clean sheet and I just think they'll get the job done. I don't think they'll be overly creative without Gundogan and Pedri.
I think the fact that I don't have Lewandowski, probably won't have Lewandowski.
He's getting a hat-trick.
Yeah. So everyone else?
Captain Lewandowski, match day 1 over Haaland. If you want.
If you manage to win a PS5.
By doing that, yeah. If you do that and you win the PS5, I demand first game on FIFA. Sorry, EA Club FC, whatever nonsense it's called now. We'll get on to the next game. Donetsk at home to FC Porto. So I want to start with Donetsk. I'm going to say because of the home team. We've never really followed that rule before, but why not? We'll use that excuse on this occasion. So Donetsk, I kind of don't want to go into too much detail about loads of players because I just don't think we're going to have them. You've got players like Sikan, who's, you know, got the odd goal and assist. You've got Kashuk, who's actually doing quite well with 2 goals. Talk about him shortly. Traore has only got 1 goal. Zubkov's got like a goal. Like, I'm naming players here that people are like, who on earth are you talking about, Daniel? And you're right. Last year we had Shved and we had Mudrik, who prior to the season, you could just see were the players to go for. The player that I'm getting that most vibe from here is Kashuk at 5.5 million. I still don't think you're likely to go for him just because of the Porto fixture. I think you kind of want him for those Antwerp ones, but it's going to be match day 2 and match day 5. Now, if Shakhtar are playing for something, I think Kashuk is a very good pick, 5.5 million. He's an attacking player because he plays left wing. But he's a midfielder on the game. So if he's still playing by that time, and Shakhtar, who I imagine will be fighting tooth and nail with FC Porto for the second spot in this group, he's a real choice, and he's someone that you can get to facilitate money elsewhere. But for now, I just don't think he's a pick. Is there anyone going forward from Donetsk that you would pick?
I personally don't have my eye on anyone.
Anyone at all. I have one of these players in my team, Aaron.
Oh, very good. Tell us more.
So I've got Riznik, who is the goalkeeper, because he's 4 million. He plays every game. The reason why he's 4 million is because Trubin has been bought by Benfica. 5 million, I think he is, on the game. So I've got a 4 million starting goalkeeper who plays on a Tuesday, which means providing he doesn't do an Adan and get sent off is fine, because I can just sub him out if he doesn't keep a clean sheet, and I like my second day goalkeeper. But I've spent a combined 9.5 million on my 8.5 million, sorry, on my keepers. Bear in mind, people are spending 6 million on a goalkeeper. Yeah. I've spent 8.5 million on my two. And one of them, I think, is maybe the best shout in the game. It could be 6 million because of the team that he plays in. We'll get to that in a different group. But because of that, like, I don't care. I'm on a limitless wildcard in two, so I literally do not care that he's playing Barcelona or whoever else. I was Antwerp anyway. But I don't care. Like, that does not bother me at all. When it gets back around to Barcelona for the double ups there, I'm just going to keep the other goalkeeper in. I'm not that bothered. Like, I found rotating goalkeepers can actually still be a nightmare in this game. You never seem to pick the right ones, even though you can swap and change. Sometimes you get a six-pointer, you leave them in, and then your other goalkeeper saves a pen, and it just... I'd still always recommend having two playing, but I've got two playing, and who knows what he could do. On that fourth match day as well against Barcelona, it's a Tuesday. The fifth's a Tuesday, so I can keep him in on a wild card if I want to. If they're that terrible, I can get him out. If someone else shows a shining light. Another player, Kozic, is a 4 million defender. He's played three of the last five games. Actually has an assist in the last game in a 4-1 win. I don't think I'm that brave. I think there are way better defenders to get than a 4 million fodder. He is, if you are absolutely desperate to fit in Mbappe with Haaland, with Cancelo sort of job. I'm not that desperate with how good the defenders are. The reason why I'm happy to go for the goalkeepers, because I think the goalkeepers are either overpriced or not that great.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I think you've made a good case. So we'll see his ownership.
Riznik?
We need like a Riznik train or something.
We need the Riznik train. On to Porto.
I think
Aaron, obviously you're the expert, known about their terrible start with 10 points out of 12. It's a disgrace, Porto. You should be ashamed of yourselves. What are your feelings towards Porto this season?
I think the first things is looking at their most owned players. David Carmo, 4 million defender, 10% owned. Do not do it. Costa, 5.5, goalkeeper. Obviously, we know his heroics from last season. 6%. It's not crazy, but again...
5.5 million, isn't he? I think it's a weird pick because you are literally counting on him saving pens, which is a fair tactic. I owned him last year for his 3 pen saves in a row. His assist. Oh, yeah, we're counting on him for attacking returns. I forgot, actually. Wild keeper. But they've not kept a clean sheet yet this season, Porto.
That's just, honestly, it's just crazy.
And he's 5.5 million.
3 games in a row and then an assist. It's like... only in UCL fantasy, like...
But the thing is, the first time he got... The first penalty save that he made was between him and Sporting Lisbon's Zidane. And Adan got sent off and conceded 4 goals. So people either got 16 points or -2.
It's just great.
That was one of the great days, especially as a Costa owner. The meltdowns. It's why that my season fell apart after that, because I was not gracious in victory.
But in terms of the rest of the defenders, though, there's a lot of 4.5s, lots. So there's actually some potential bargains in here.
Yeah, I think Wendell's the starting choice left back. He got a red card. He got a goal and a red card opening day of the season. But he had to miss the next couple of games. Sanusi came in, and then he came straight back in. So I imagine if you are looking at the game thinking, who are these? I think Wendell's going to be the starter over Sanusi. Marcano is the one I'd go for. 4.5 million centre back. He's got 2 goals in 4 games. 4.5 million. I think João Mário right back's 4.5 million, but he's actually not great. He's a very average footballer. I don't think you're going to get much joy out of him attacking return wise. Q2 assists. If I was going for one of these, I'd go for Marcano. Who would you go for?
I think Marcano in past seasons was one of the highly owned ones. So it definitely a shout in terms of his goal threat. But Wendell kind of mentioned him. He's 0% owned. So I guess a lot of people are confused about that kind of situation with the red card. And but I think just any kind of... I think the defenders, again, with them being cheaper than the goalkeeper, is where to go if you do want defensive cover, because it's not worth getting paying the extra million for the point, like for the team that's going to get you like similar points. Like, I can't see Costa repeating his.
I mean, if he saves one more penalty, I'd be astounded, let alone 3 in a row. I also think when you get a 3 and 4, match day 3 and 4, double up against Antwerp, I think Marcano or whoever, if someone else shows themselves to be a good pick, I think that's where you want to invest, especially with them all. I think they're all 4.5 million, yeah. A lot of them. So pick your poison later on. Donetsk away isn't an easy game. I think people look at it and go, oh, yeah. They're not. They beat Real Madrid 3-2 on the opening day 2 years ago or something like that. And that was... It wasn't at the Bernabeu, but it was away because it was when they had the playing at the training pitch, weren't they? The 3-0 up at halftime or something wild.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Shakhtar can score. Moving into midfield, they've sort of settled on like a 4-4-2, basically, where Pepe is the right winger, Galeno is the left, I say winger, the midfielders, Nico and Eustachio?
It's better than my guess.
Yeah, they're the players. And that's because Gruch is injured. So Gruch normally plays instead of Nico, but because he's injured, he's now getting a game. Players like Otavio, Uribe, they've all been sold. Also, just in defence, Pepe is injured. So ex-Real Madrid Pepe, who I think people might put in, he is injured. Cardoso's been playing there. Cardoso played before Pepe. Pepe came in for a game and then he was out again after his injury.
How old is he now? Like 38, 39?
Older or younger than Pirlo?
Well, he's younger than Pirlo for sure, but I'm going to guess 38. What are you going to guess?
I'm going to guess 39.
He's 40.
Wow. He's doing very well. He's got amazing skin for a 40-year-old as well.
Amazing skin.
Amazing skin for a 40-year-old. Pepe, if you're watching this, could you please comment below your skincare routine?
And if we get randomly
sponsored... Aaron is desperate for it. He is aging terribly.
If we get randomly sponsored, like next episode... Pepe had a hand in it.
I'd go for Galeno, by the way, if anyone cares. he's scored a pen and missed a pen in his last 2 games, so he's the pen taker. He also has an assist. He's played for all 4 games, so he's pretty much nailed. Martinez has played up front with Taremi. Taremi's been dreadful. He won a penalty.
I think he was just trying to get his move.
Yeah, he really wanted to move to AC Milan, wasn't it? Was it Milan? Yeah, he didn't get it. So who knows? Maybe he might start turning up and being the problematic forward that we know he can be. If he does turn up, then he could be an absolute shout against Antwerp. That'd be very nice. But at the minute, Martinez seems to be the one that's outperforming him with a couple of goals. I think it going forward as Galeno, 6.5 million. I think that's really good for a penalty taker or bust. I probably will have triple Porto for that match day 3-4 against Antwerp. And I'll likely be Marcano, Galeno, and one of those two forwards, whoever shows themselves to be the talisman. What about you? Anyone in considerations for match day 1 or forward?
I mostly just try and get the defence in at the moment. Just because I've went quite heavy premiums going forward. But definitely Taremi is someone to keep an eye out on. But actually just any Porto forward, especially when they bring Antwerp back to Portugal. Like, it's such a fortress. Like, I think they've held Man City to multiple 0-0 draws in Portugal.
Antwerp 1-0 up after 3 minutes.
And see, that's why we love the Champions League. That's what we need. So... because I think with this closed league system, it's going to stop teams like Antwerp, Sheriff, all that type of team getting into the Champions League, and that's not what we want.
What's score going to be for Shakhtar Donetsk versus FC Porto?
0-0.
Oh, well, fun score. I'm going to go for 1-1.
I'm just trying to help out your goalkeeper. Your goalkeeper plus Porto defender, 0-0 defensive.
Nah, he's saving 72 shots. I don't know if that's even a fact, like a multiple of four.
If he does like that, like a kick behind,
I think it is a multiple of four. Or three saves anyways, it's not even four. Oh, god damn it. Anyway, in terms of the group, what's the group gonna look like? 1-4.
Barcelona, Porto, Shakhtar, Antwerp.
I think it's going to be the same. It's so boring, isn't it? But I do think it is the same. The cream generally rises to the top. And I think across the groups, you might get one shock or two shocks. We've had it before. I think last year, Bruges finishing top of that group was a real shock, but was excellent. Frankfurt, I think, less of a shock, but that was a tough group. I think it was more so Sporting going out. Benfica finishing top above PSG. I think to a casual, Juventus maybe we're expected to get through, but I think people that watch football were like, actually, Benfica probably will.
Yeah.
So, but I just think this is one of those groups where it'll be... I think Porto will beat Shakhtar at home, and I think they'll probably draw in Poland or wherever they're playing now. Germany, I think they're playing in. And all else will be equal. Let us know what you think. Feel free to pop your thoughts down in the comments. Let us know if what your triple up's going to be. Are you going Lewandowski or not? Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We are at UCL Fantasy Pod. You can like this video. Please subscribe as well, whether it's to us and or to Gallagher Shots as well, if you're interested in any Newcastle-based content as well. And we will see you for the next one. Bye now.